Welcome to Money, Markets and Masterminds, a Citywire South Africa podcast that delves into the intricate world of finance, investment and strategic decision making. If you're a fund selector or an independent financial advisor looking for insights, analysis and expert opinions to enhance your perspective, you're in the right place here with me, editor Ruan Uester. As the global economy evolves, so do the strategies of institutional investors, including pension funds. With an aim to diversify their portfolios and optimize returns, many retirement funds across the continent are increasingly looking towards offshore investments. But let's find out what exactly are the trends driving the shift in mindset. In the studio today, I have Derek Roper, who's the Chief Investment Officer of the Novare Group, as well as the Managing Director of Novare Equity Partners, a private equity firm in investing exclusively in sub-Saharan Africa and outside of South Africa. Before co-founding Novare, Derek worked for a number of large financial services companies in South Africa, including Sanlam and Genseq Asset Management. He also spent some time in the UK, where he gained experience in investment product development in the pension fund market. Welcome, Derek.
Thank you very much, Ron, and thank you very much for the invitation to speak about this interesting topic of offshore investments.
To kick things off, let's discuss the rationale behind African pension funds' interest in offshore investments. Historically, these funds have primarily invested in the countries of origin due to familiarity, regulatory constraints, and perceived risk associated with international markets. But Derek, what are some of the mitigating factors reshaping this mindset now?
Yeah, I think obviously offshore investments are driven very much by regulation and regulation in each country. But if we look at an investment perspective for offshore investments and the rationale, one of the main rationale for investing offshore is additional investment opportunities outside of your home country. Together with that, that brings diversification away from your home country and also being able to invest in different asset classes that's not always available in the own country. So a large focus around that is diversification and enhancing returns and reducing risk. Together with that, it's also around currency depreciation, especially from Africa and emerging markets, where we've historically for many years seen that the African currencies has depreciated over time. And obviously investing outside your home country gives you protection against these currency depreciation.
Derek, I'm sure it's different for every country, but for a long time, the majority of pension funds on the continent weren't allowed to invest offshore. And as you probably know very well, Regulation 28 of the South African Pension Funds Act was amended not too long ago to allow for up to 45% into offshore markets. But where else are you seeing some of the more significant regulatory reforms happening? And where do some of the biggest constraints still remain?
Yeah, I think obviously we've seen significant changes in regulations in South Africa over the last 20, 25 years and also in the rest of Africa. And all these regulations are very different in the different African countries. And I believe this is all driven by the development of the financial markets and the institutional investment landscape in these different countries. If I can just maybe touch on South Africa to give an example, as you mentioned, you know, historically back in the 1990s, South African pension funds weren't allowed to invest offshore, basically only investing into South African equities and fixed income in, instruments. However, towards the end of the 1990s, pension funds were allowed to invest in offshore at 10%, and immediately all South African pension funds allocated that 10% to offshore assets. Over the last 20 years, we've seen a significant increase in the regulations for offshore assets. And as you mentioned recently, that increased to 45%. So just to give you some background on how things has changed for our clients over the last 20 years, as I mentioned, back in 2003, pension funds typically invested 10% offshore. That would have been 80% offshore equities, 20% offshore fixed income. However, if we look at where it's today, these funds has got very close to the 45% allocation to offshore assets. So we've seen a significant increase in the offshore allocation of pension funds. However, if we then look at some other African countries, which are not as well developed, that has got a more recently developed pension fund industry, they've also got regulations, in some instances more regulated than the South African industry. And some of these countries, like for instance Nigeria, which has got a very big pension fund industry, very fast growing, they're not allowed to invest anything outside of Nigeria. However, if we then look at some other countries like Botswana, which has got a very limited investment opportunities in Botswana, but they do have a very large pension fund industry, we've seen with regulations that historically they've invested a very large portion of their assets outside of Botswana, even more than 50% outside of their home country. But all of this has been driven by regulations. And obviously, some countries has got more restrictions than others, and that's very much driving the allocation of these pension funds into offshore assets.
You just mentioned some examples where some of the money on the continent is allowed to go or not allowed to go. But is South Africa as an investment destination even on the agenda? And is South Africa investing in the rest of the continent for that matter?
Yeah, I think that's interesting is that, you know, a few years ago, Regulation 28 was changed to allow South African pension funds to invest up to 5% of their assets into Africa. And when this was changed, we immediately saw a lot of South African pension funds taking up this 5% and starting to invest into the rest of Africa. However, with the recent change to the 45%, that 5% dedicated Africa was removed and it was included in the 45%. And as a result of that, we've also seen less pension funds in South Africa investing into Africa. Together with that, the returns on the African continent has unfortunately not been great. So a lot of the pension funds has reduced their allocation to the African continent. On the question on international investors or offshore investors or even African investors being interested in South Africa. Historically, yes, they were. There was a lot of interest in South Africa from offshore institutional investors. They would either invest in the South African stock market, so a large part of offshore investors into the South African stock market were actually international institutional investors. However, over the last few years, we've seen a lot of those institutional investors withdrawing their money from the South African market, and we've actually had negative flows into the South African market by those investors. Together with with African pension funds, we've also seen less interest into South Africa. Historically, some of the Southern African pension funds that didn't have developed equity markets in their own countries, again, like Namibia or Botswana, they would have invested a large part of their assets in the South African market. However, over recent years, we've seen a lot of those pension funds actually reducing their allocations to the South African market and rather investing that money into other global markets or even into their own market. So, yes, unfortunately, you know, there has been less interest from international institutional investors into the South African market.
Derek, of course, economic development is at the top of most policymakers' agenda in Africa. So have you observed any shift towards alternative assets such as private equity, real estate and infrastructure from African pension funds in their own or neighboring economies? Or is asset allocation still predominantly restricted to fixed income and equities close to home?
Well, no, definitely. We've seen a huge increase over the past 20 years of institutional investors investing into alternative assets in their local markets and in international markets. And if we talk about alternatives, that would obviously include private equity, infrastructure, hedge funds. So we've seen huge allocations to that over the last few years. So if I can maybe just touch on that again with an example, is back in the end of the 1990s, South African pension funds had basically no investments into alternatives assets. However, early in the 2000s, they started allocating to some alternatives, specifically hedge funds. And as of January 2024, South African pension funds had, you know, in some instances, close to 20% of their assets into South African alternative assets, which would include hedge funds and private equity and infrastructure. And even on the offshore side, you know, would have allocated in the region of 5% to offshore allocations. So, yes, we've seen a huge increase in allocation into alternative assets. We've also seen on the African continent a huge increase in alternatives. Again, getting back to Botswana, about 10 years ago, they probably had about 5% in alternatives. Over time, they've increased their strategic allocation to that to in the region of 20% into alternatives, with a big focus on their own country. Even in countries like Nigeria, where they can only invest in their local market, we've seen that the regulator there has worked very closely with the Securities and Exchange Commission to create alternative investment structures to allow the pension funds there to invest into private equity, infrastructure, and into real estate. So, yes, we've seen a huge move from institutional investors across the continent into alternative assets.
Derek, it's no secret that the property markets have been taking a beating, especially in emerging markets. I'm just thinking China and South Africa on top of my head. So is there still an appetite for listed property amongst African pension funds, specifically in an environment of high interest rates and huge debt levels?
Yes, there is still an interest in that in the local market and the offshore market. However, it is fairly small. Obviously, in the real estate market, the listed market is still fairly small. If one looks at the MSCI World Index, less than 5%. But there is still some interest. And as you rightly pointed out, the real estate has had a really, really tough time over the past number of years. But yes, I think from a diversification point of view, there is still some interest, but it is not as high as it used to be, I would say 10 years ago.
Derek, these offshore diversification efforts that we've been discussing, are they being driven from African currencies' weaknesses by any chance?
Yes, I believe so. Unfortunately, I think that is a huge impact on why people focus on allocating to offshore assets. It's very much on a currency protection and the depreciating of the different currencies and to provide that protection. So yes, I believe, you know, the risk or the fear of or uncertainty around currency depreciation has led to, you know, a big interest into offshore assets and also increased the allocation to offshore assets.
I want to flip this conversation around a bit, Eric, by asking how much of other international institutional capital is actually interested in investing in Africa? And is that limited to certain areas or types of asset classes?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. I think what we do see from an offshore investment perspective is that there's a lot of interest, not so much from institutional investors, but more from your development finance organizations, and then also from corporates themselves. From pension funds perspectives, I think international institutions just had so many other investment opportunities globally that they need to compare Africa or South Africa with those markets. If I can just use an example of emerging markets where people has invested heavily into China up until about 2 years ago, before we started seeing the geopolitical conflicts between China and the West. But up until that time, we've seen huge amount of inflows from institutional investors into China. And more recently, you know, we've seen huge inflows into the Indian market, which is today the big darling of international investors. So yeah, we as Africa and as South Africa, we compete for international investors against these other big countries, being India, China, Brazil, and even other, you know, developing countries in Asia and also in the Middle East. And I think, unfortunately, you know, international investors have seen a lot more opportunities in the other countries than in Africa. And I think as a result, there hasn't been that much interest by institutional investors into the African markets. We do see some institutional investors from time to time looking at some of the industries in South Africa, or Africa, for specifically around mining. You know, so we've seen some institutional investors looking at some mining opportunities in Africa. Then together also with some energy opportunities, specifically the gas and the oil. Obviously, energy is a huge focus for the global economy. And then we've seen recently, you know, a lot of focus from international investors around green energy and specifically hydrogen. So we've seen huge interest from international investors in that space, you know, specifically green energy and hydrogen.
Derek, it's a well-known fact that the GEPF, or the Government Employment Pension Fund, is the biggest pension fund in Africa. You also mentioned Nigeria has quite a significant pension fund industry itself. But are there other countries that are starting to stand out that are building up quite significant reserves and will be big contenders in the future?
Yeah, I think it's on the East African side, it's Kenya. That's got a fairly well-developed pension fund industry, and they're also growing their capital markets, which create some interesting opportunities. Then also on the Western Africa, additional countries like Ghana and the Ivory Coast that present some opportunities, and that's got a growing savings industry. So yeah, I think a lot of the African countries has realized that, you know, they can't just rely on development financing, that they need to develop their own institutional savings industry, and together with that also their own capital markets and alternative markets in infrastructure and private equity.
As a final point, and as these funds that you just mentioned continue to mature and gain confidence in global market, can we expect to see further diversification into alternative assets and increased collaboration with investment partners?
Yes, I believe so. I think we'll see more and more assets going into alternative assets globally as well. I think up till now, a huge focus for investors was the easy way out offshore is by investing into, call it, mutual funds. And interesting, mutual funds celebrated their 100th birthday last year in the US. But we've seen huge changes in other alternative assets globally, and we believe that more and more South African and African institutional investors will start investing into these alternative assets to gain further diversification and additional returns.
Well, that's all the time we have today. In today's episode, where we explored the evolving landscape of offshore investments for African pension funds, from the rationale behind diversification to the regulatory challenges and future outlook. Thank you, Derek, for your time and your insight. And to all our CityWire South African listeners, thank you for tuning into this episode of Money, Markets and Masterminds with me, editor Ruan Uester. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your network. We are also available on all major platforms such as Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. Until next time, goodbye.